Blog Talk Radio.
News. News gives me the creeps.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Show broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, The Truth, and the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the show title is English Defence League radio show. Bags are packed for a break from the Wuhan. There you go. Don't we need it, eh? Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host Jeff Holiday. I like that, Dave. Holiday Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave A.K. Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing topics of interest as we prepare to head out for a two-week holiday from the never-ending Wuhan virus panic that has dominated the news. We pray for the health of our great listeners and wish them well as we embark on a much needed break. The EDL radio team will return live with a new show on Sunday, the 3rd of May, 2020. In the meantime, please drop in to our show page at the blogtalkradio.com for some interesting and enjoyable, should I say, encore episodes. Myself and Dave, stay safe, stay vigilant, and a no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me bring on my wingman for this evening, Dave Agador Milner. He's got his bags packed. He's ready to go. Here we go, Dave. Back to you, brother.
And a good evening to you, Jeff. Good evening to Charlie there in the background. Good evening to Bluey. Kev, got our producers. Good evening to everybody in the UK. And good afternoon to everybody in the States. Hello to everybody around the world and, of course, off Earth. Yeah, guys, we love you. As far as our listeners go, we really do. But, you know, I mean, I'll let Jeff speak for himself, but I, for one, am really, really ready for a break from this. I'm sick and tired of being lied to by governments about numbers. I'm sick and tired of everybody's sick and tired of being lied to by China. I'm just ready for a break from it. And it's going to be really difficult to stay away from news about the Wuhan virus. It's all crap, guys. I mean, the virus is serious enough. I've actually lost someone myself. We buried her. They buried her on Monday as a result, not of the virus, but of this lockdown. Okay, that was my sister-in-law. She had
That's news to me, brother. I'm so sorry for your loss, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff. That was my sister-in-law. Her pacemaker malfunctioned on her,
yes.
But they couldn't get an ambulance to her in time because of this lockdown. Now, guys, you may want to cover up your kids' ears because I may very well use a little bit more cursing today than normal. Because of this lockdown, they couldn't get the ambulance to her in time. I'm sick of the whole damned lockdown. It's garbage. It always was. Who the hell ever heard of a reverse quarantine? I'm sick with it. I'm done with it. And I'm ready for a break. And, you know, I mean, I love Jeff like a brother. Okay, but I don't know about him, but I'm ready for a break. Jeff, are you ready for a break from this mess?
Yeah, I am. I've got to admit, I mean, I'm just so fired up with what we've talked about, myself and Dave, for many, many a month now. And we said that this is something that escaped from the laboratory. And now, basically, it's been confirmed by 5 different sources. So it's what we've said all along. This is a plague that got out of there, and that's what's causing 182 to 184 countries around this planet. As I say, those involved, those who's created this issue, have got to pay a heavy price. If it means totally creating them as a pariah state, take all your business out from them. Put your business where it should be, back in your countries or people that you can trust. Because you can't trust them lot. They are beyond evil. And let them rot in their own juices. Stuff them. I just want to make a good solid point, though, because it's got to be said. There's a lot of people, as you say, you lost one of your own day. God bless your brother and your brother. That's awful, man. That's awful, you know, with the panic, the chaos that's created, the industries closing down. I've heard, is it 22, 23 million people unemployed in your country? And God knows what it's going to be. So this is going to put us back 300 years? Can you believe this? It's unbelievable. That's what me and Dave, we decided, even if Wuhan wasn't around or whatever, what you wanted to call it. And we also need to take a break this time of year because we're recharging. Of course, come May, the very early part of May, it's the 8th year anniversary and Dave's 7th year anniversary this year as well, isn't it, Dave? I think you're doing about a couple of weeks before.
It's right now. It's right now, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, back to you, Dave.
Well, no, Jeff, I didn't mean to step on you. I apologize. But, yeah, it's right now.
If you
guys go to the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, my 7th anniversary show is on now. It's in 2 parts. And it's called The Line. And I ask the question in that show, and it's one that I think that we'll need to answer in the U.S. and in the U.K. You know, is this going to be the year that historians look back on and draw a line and say this means the end of the – this is where the end of the American Republic happened. This is where the end of the of U.K. democracy happened. This is where the Chinese were able to get this done. And, yeah, Jeff, whether this was let out of this laboratory in Wuhan due to incompetence or whether it was let out on purpose, certainly the spread of it was done on purpose, because we've known for a while they suppressed all kinds of information from doctors and journalists over there in China to try and keep a lid on it. And meanwhile,
let's
they just let people that they figured were infected fly right into our countries.
Yeah, sorry, Dave. I'm threatening.
Yeah. Well, it's the WHO. Yeah, they used them also to spread misinformation about this. And
yeah,
and also, yeah, you know, and this leaked into how we've handled this stuff all along with this reverse quarantine, which is something we've never done. Brothers and sisters in the UK and people in the States, just think about it. When there have been diseases before and there's been quarantines, they've always quarantined the sick people, not the people that are well. This is just dumb and stupid, as Jeff said. I saw this in the Daily Mail. There's been one estimate that your economy in the UK could be set back 300 years. Now, that may be a bit hyperbolic. You know, it might be a bit hyperbolic,
yeah, I think
but it's certainly going to hurt.
OTT, but they're looking at it as an important thing. And, of course, it frightens the life out of you when you think the economy is going to... You know, God knows what it's going to do. It's the same in the United States. Although, I think the United States, you're ready to roll, Dave. I know what you guys are like. You're ready to roll, and you're ready to roll. And I'm sure the good people out there, is what they've always done, put your country back to rights. I know, I faith, and I love the American people. That's why I know you can do it. I know we can do it. We'll come out of this.
No, you better believe it, man. The people of the UK can do
it. Haven't we, Dave? Both of our nations. Well, not only our nations. 184 other countries are feeling the effects of this China virus. And they've got to pay a high price for this, Dave. Whatever. We stopped trading. The world should stop trading. Now, Hong Kong's done it already. They pulled everything out. We should do the same, and the rest of the world stuff the Chinese. We look after our own. We look after our people that looks after us. People like yourself, though. We look out for each other, not these buggers. Back to you, Dave.
Well,
you're right.
Well, I think we're both on one tonight, Jeff. But wait, okay, for instance, for the United States, we have so many contracts in China for manufacturing and stuff. And I was saying in Ken McClinton's chat, Raola, I will be there tonight, by the way, on the Exceptional Conservative Show after 10 p.m. Eastern, after 3 a.m. in the U.K. You know, just go to the ExceptionalConservativeShow.com. I was saying in there, all right, that to heck with China. Let's just move that manufacturing to nations that are friendly. Let's move it to Israel. Let's move it to the UK. Let's move it to Taiwan.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love it if we would give a bunch of contracts to Taiwan. Oh, that would be beautiful.
Would it be wicked?
What do you think?
That'd be wicked, man. I love it. I love the Taiwanese people. They're really good people, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it would, man. And the Taiwanese, yeah, and the Chinese would hate it. But anyway, guys, we're going to get off this because we've got a whole bunch of stuff we're not even ever going to get to tonight. But one of the things that we found was something Jeff found. Jeff found two stories, our two top stories tonight. Before we get to even that, we just want to remind people, since we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks, want to remind people of a couple of the petitions that that are out there. The first one, of course, is the petition release the Home Office's grooming gang review in full. Okay, and that one had to do with you know, we've talked about this in the past, so I'm just going to skim over this one real quick. This one and the next one. So if you guys live in the UK, look for that one on the web, and I'll give you the address real quick: https://petitions.parliament.uk/petition/300239. That's 300239. All right. And that one is very important. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just listen to some of our past shows and you'll get a full 411 on it. All right, guys. Now, Parliament already has to consider that for debate. When that'll happen, we don't know, but it's currently at 120,567 signatures. Now, the next one, Jeff, that we have is one that that Tommy Robinson alerted us to. All right. And this is Deport Omar. Yeah. The plastic shanking gangsta fam, but it's just called Deport Omar. All right. Now you can get this one by going to https://www.tr.news/deportomar. That's one word, and then another slash. And they haven't updated the signatures on this one in some time, but I'm sure it's well over the current figure that that there is there of 23,215. In fact, I think I remember reading that one the last time we covered this. Both of these are very important, guys. If you live in the UK, do go in there. I mean, you know, they're not letting you out to do anything else. You might as well go in there and sign them. Am I right, Jeff?
Sign it. Sign it. It's so important. You know, now, I've never been a fan of any Home Secretaries ever, but Priti Patel has been pushing for this this grooming report to be out there, because she knows how important it is for the people. Because myself and many others have been fighting for this so long, and you're not going to have people just shoving it away in the back corner somewhere and not to be heard. They said it's not in the national interest. Well, it's in my bloody interest. It's in millions of people in this country's interest. And it's the interest of the kids that's been raped and groomed by these mobs. Let's get it right. That's the national interest, government. You get that, you fat, ugly bastards, because we get it, and so do these poor kids. There will be justice served. And people like you, you're scumbags. So, yes, we will go along with Priti Patel for what she did. She's a good lady, actually, Dave. I've got to admit, I like the lady.
Yes, she is. It's all right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're pretty much both on one tonight, and it's a good thing I muted my mic because, you know, you could have heard me in here, you know, like slapping my fist in my palm and going, yeah, go on, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. Because I love
it. That's what you're saying. Let it rip. I know you like it.
yeah, exactly, man. Anyway, guys, Jeff found two good stories, and we're kind of a strange team here. Jeff lives in Ipswich in the UK. It's kind of fair to say.
Well, on
the outskirts,
Dave, come on, the rural area of Ipswich. Let's call it what it is, mate.
yeah, but just to give people a perspective, kind of in the south of England, right? And I'm over
oh,
on,
so
the
I'm
east
on the east coast
of the United.
Actually, Dave, I'm on the east coast, brother.
okay, that's fine. No, that's fine. You're kind of the southeast coast, and I'm over here in the United States, in Vermont. I'm in Bernie country, okay, in Burlington, Vermont. But there are times when I know more about what's going on in the UK than Jeff does, and he knows more about what's going on in the United States than I do, okay? So
That's where we make a good team, ladies and gentlemen. That's why me and Dave make a good team. Try it,
yeah,
brother.
We get you guys get an outsider's look at things on both sides of the pond, which is really pretty cool. But Jeff found two stories, and we're going to do right now. There's an audio, and guys, this one, grab a drink, because this one is just under 15 minutes long, but it's very important. This is one we knew this was going to happen. Jeff and I both knew this was going to happen. All right. Because of all of this dumb, stupid, flea-brained, reverse quarantine that we've all had to go through, all right, churches have been closed down. And over here in the United States, Jeff will tell you, as I will, that has been a big, big deal, especially over the Easter holiday. That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Okay, but churches are shut down. Synagogues are shut down. But there's one ideology that cloaks itself in religion that doesn't really seem to get a whole lot of attention from the government during all of this, and I can't quite think of it, Jeff. It's not the Hindus.
Cultists of death. Cultists of death. Yeah, I used this on the tip of my tongue, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, guys, over in Paris, they're still doing their big Allahu Akbar, praying outside, okay, when everybody else is supposed to be locked in. All right, the same thing is going on in the UK in the parks, okay, and one reporter with his own show, all right, is going to talk about this. This is going to be about a 15-minute audio. And as I say, Jeff brought this over to me. I'm going to get you guys his information, though, before I play it, okay? Now, you can find this on YouTube so far until they take it down under the channel Police Abusing Powers. All right, now this one is called Police Threaten Reporter Over Reporting on a Protected Group. Okay, so if you guys want to go looking for it, there it is. And you better grab it quick, because you know how YouTube is about pulling this stuff down.
Yeah, they're purging at the moment as well, guys. Dave, you should know they're purging.
You're right.
I know Maria was telling me they're purging big time. So, guys, go there, grab it quick, put it on BitChute or something like that, because it's going to go. YouTube is going down. Yeah, it's going down, mate. And they're off.
I appreciate that, Jeff.
Back to you, Dave.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. No, don't, no, man, please don't be, especially on something like that. See, I didn't realize they were in the midst of another crackdown. A lot of people don't realize that once in a while they do this. They'll get on to where they crack down on conservatives, on people, and especially on people who tell the truth about Islam. You don't even have to be a conservative. You just have to be a truth teller about Islam, and they'll crack down on you. So it really doesn't surprise me.
And it is a purge, Dave. We know the way they work, the way that they've worked for a long time. Facebook's done it. Dave, well, basically, we've all felt what a purge is like, haven't we, Dave? We've all felt that.
Yeah.
And that's just another way of good people out there being all sudden, they lose their monetary thing that they've had for many years, and all of a sudden it's gone. And it's... Yeah, there is other ways to make your money, different platforms, but it is heartbreaking for a lot of these people, isn't it, Dave? So anyway, I have to share that with you listeners that there's a lot of evil bastards out there, a lot of evil ones who we speak the truth and they want to shut us down, shut us up, silence us. You bow to us. We're going to oppress you and you're going to enjoy it, you know? All the time I've got breath in my body, and like Dave, like millions of us, you will never oppress us. We will not allow you to. And I've seen this in Michigan. I've seen the way the people rose up in Michigan, stuff that Democratic governor. She come out in the thousands, Dave, at least 10,000 people. And I said it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And that's just the beginning. You wait to see, ladies and gentlemen, you wait to see what I say. It's going to come to pass. But, Dave, anyway, I'll pass it back to you because I'm firing up with both cylinders tonight, brother.
That's excellent, man. And, yeah, again, thanks for that heads up about YouTube. Okay, guys, I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. This was done by them on the 11th, okay? And it's very important. So give this a listen. This will show you who's being protected during this Wuhan panic crackdown and who isn't. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here you go.
This is Tom. Tom runs a radio station and is an independent journalist for that radio station. Tom recently made a report to the police that there were people congregating in large numbers, completely disregarding social distancing rules. Tom's now having a visit from the police because Tom said that he was going to go and report on said gatherings, and the police seem that they're a little worried about that. In fact, throughout this video, the police make constant indirect threats at Tom that if he is seen out, if he is seen in the area, he may be subject to arrest or fine. Now, the government's already said journalists reporting on coronavirus are key workers, but yet the police seem desperate to stop Tom from reporting, shall we say, on a group with certain characteristics.
Oh, okay, mate.
So we've got a body, just so you know, we've got a body cam.
Right, I'm recording as well.
That's fine, but there's no need for us to be overly, I don't know. We don't need any tension, yeah, we just wanted to...
I just want to know why you're here.
Tension? So this police constable feels under stress because a member of the public is filming his interaction, but yet the very first words that come out of Constable Baldy's mouth was, "My camera is on." Strange.
Your breathing is quite, you know, quite restless.
This is what I'm like anyway.
Yeah, well, is this normal?
I've got COPD, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't want you to...
No. This is why I couldn't come outside.
So, Tom, you have to bear with me because I'm playing catch-up on this.
Okay.
Did you notify West Yorkshire Police that you
yes.
were going to go?
Yeah?
Yeah. This Friday?
Yeah.
And was that to some religious sites in Bradford? Is that right?
It's to the mosque in Bradford and Leeds. Yeah, because from what I've read in the local newspapers, they're flouting the stay-at-home rules.
Okay.
And if that's not the case, then they're meeting in parks in large groups, which is dangerous
right.
because they're only going to go back to their shops and petrol stations and affect other people.
Okay. So I expect that you've got concerns over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to be aware of the social distancing laws, don't you?
Well, I'd be in the car, so there wouldn't be a problem.
The social distancing rules as they stand at the moment, this is the Coronavirus Act 2020.
Yep.
Mean that you shouldn't make unnecessary
jokes. Right, well, as a journalist, I'm a key worker, I'm entitled to do that.
What's interesting here is that Tom's made a report about people flouting the social distancing guidance, but yet the police have turned up to tell Tom that he may breach social distancing guidance. So they're there to deal with a situation that hasn't occurred rather than going to deal with a situation that has and is occurring.
Okay, do you have an MTJ card?
No, I'm an independent radio journalist. I don't need one.
Right.
These cards you're talking about are only issued by the authorities that the people work for. They're not issued by the government.
No, I understand that.
So I wouldn't issue myself one.
Right. What you need to be aware of is that two things, really. One, you've explained to me about your health.
Yep.
Yeah? And the fact that you are vulnerable.
I am.
Your health is vulnerable.
Which is why I want to see if it's been flouted.
Let me explain, and then you can have your say. Okay? So, first of all, you are vulnerable yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And by making a journey all the way to Bradford, you may put yourself in harm. Not only that, but you may also put emergency workers in harm if you came into difficulty.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a laughing matter, Tom.
Well, the point
and
is...
secondly, Tom, the other issue I'd like to make is that is both not deemed a necessary journey.
Well, as a journalist, it is.
Okay.
Journalists are travelling all over the country.
I respect that you've described yourself as a journalist.
Well, I am. I've got a radio station.
But at the same time, Tom, you need to realise that you even told me yourself that the media have reported on it. So the issue is being reported over.
But
it
won't be on Friday.
There's no need for you to then travel a long distance to further report it, is
well,
it?
So what Constable Baldy is actually saying here is that as an independent journalist, you don't need to go and report on things. I wonder if that's because they prefer the media outlets that are in the government's pocket to report on things rather than people who are not told what to say.
Well, firstly, I think there is, because you can't curtail the rights of a journalist to report. That's not legal. Secondly, I am allowed to go out for as long as I want in the car, wherever I want in the car. There is no legal rule or law that says I can only go for a certain period of time. So please look at that. Well, I've got a copy of your NCCP rules.
That's fine, I respect you have, they're all online, but I yep. disagree that that's not exactly what is in keeping with the either the direction given by the government.
Well, that's a wish. The government wish people would do that, that's not a law. So am I supposed to stop to being... Once I've been given key worker status by the government as a journalist, and you're now saying you don't want me to go and do that job.
No, what I've said to you is that that wouldn't be deemed a necessary journey.
But clearly the police turning up at the door to tell you you're not allowed to go and report on a mosque that's full of people flouting the coronavirus regulations is a necessary journey.
But in whose opinion?
It
can't be in yours, because with respect, you don't make the law.
From what I've reviewed, it's been reviewed by our controller, it's also been reviewed by our command today.
But it's not been reviewed.
No, what we've looked at the law, and we've looked at what you've described you want to do. It's been reviewed by our leadership team, yeah? And we're here to basically explain to you, yeah, that if you make that journey on Friday, you may be breaking that law.
Are you more interested in the fact that I'm going to Islamic locations?
Tom, I don't want to get an argument.
I'm not arguing.
I don't want you to get upset, and I don't want to have to
be upset.
But if you go on Friday, you may be breaking the law, okay?
Well,
you may be breaking the law, and you may be subject to either a 6-month notice, or if you fail to then heed that notice, it may be that we'd have to take further action.
Right, well, first of all, you can stop the threats. Because there's no limit to the length of time I can go out. That is the law. Secondly, I'm going to Islamic locations. Is that the reason? If I was going to a church, I bet you wouldn't be around here now. I'm not trying to stir anything up. But when you've got crowds of people mixing closely together and getting away with it, you're not going around to these parks and stopping them praying. You're not going to the mosque and telling them to get out. Are you? And that's what I'm going to report on.
How do you plan to get there? You're going to drive in your car?
Right? I don't know. I might go by helicopter. I've no idea yet.
You said you're going to drive.
Well, all right. Then I'll take the car and take the helicopter.
Okay. So what car do you drive for?
I'm not telling you. You don't need to know that.
Your car's registered to you.
Do you think I'm going to set myself up for you guys to be sat along the road with nothing better to do than stopping me?
Are you going to Bradford? Are you going to Leeds?
Going to both of them.
By where are you going?
I'm not telling you. Wherever is the mosque. I don't have to tell you where I'm going. This is not China.
Who are you broadcasting for?
What do you mean I'm broadcasting for myself, for my own radio station?
And what's the radio station for?
I'm not telling you, so you don't need to know that. You're on a fishing expedition, guys. You've been sent around here because, I mean, I just can't believe where you guys are popping out from. All over the internet, there's cops everywhere. Call up and say your car's been stolen, you don't see one. Call up and say your shop's been broken into, you get a crime number.
Okay.
But all of a sudden you're running around after this. And I don't get it. There's something going on.
Tom, you seem very keen to sort of kick off an argument with
No, you're the guys that you're the guys that are coming here to stop me doing a lawfully protected activity. The government has said it's okay for journalists to go out and do the job.
So let's just be very clear, Tom, because I don't want to be
I don't want you here either, I think it's ridiculous.
So I'm advising you very strongly, yeah, that from what we perceive, yeah,
yes, perception,
we,
yeah,
you would think that would be on a necessary journey.
That's
if
a perception.
You that journey, and if you were to be stopped on, you may well find that you end up being either receiving a 6-penny notice, or that you may well be either summoned to court, or there may be other actions.
Right, where does it say in the NCCP rules that you can stop me travelling? By law, not by some one of your boss's opinions.
Tom, I'm not going to get sucked in.
Because you can't. It's not in the law. It's not part of the law.
What I'm going to explain to you is that we, at this stage, we're warning you that may be considered unnecessary journey.
It may be. That doesn't mean it is.
Tom, I'm not going to get sucked into the finance of it. I'm just.
You just said it may be. You're a police officer. Do you know the law? Do you know the law you're trying to enforce? You clearly don't know the law. There's nothing you can do, but you don't even know your own law.
Is there a specific mosque that you wanted to attend or a religious site?
Any of them.
Is any of them?
Yes.
Right.
I'm not tying myself down to be nicked by you lot. I'm not going to self-incriminate. But the point I'm making is, you don't even know your own law. Now, I know it's just come out. I know it's new to you. You've probably scantily read it. But nowhere in those rules from NCCP does it say that you can enforce such a rule.
Can you explain to me what your motive is for going to on Friday?
Safety. Public safety. I think it's disgraceful that people are allowed to gather in large groups because of the religion they are, and then go back to shops and businesses and possibly infect other people who weren't aware that that's where they were.
Tom, how do you know these mosques are open regularly?
Because it's in the Telegraph and Argus. It's in the Leeds Press. There's even comments from Muslim leaders in Bradford saying they're going to stay open. It's in the Telegraph and Argus.
So, Tom, I've asked you quite reasonably what your media organisation is as well, because I respect that you're saying you're a journalist, so I've asked you, and you haven't answered.
But I don't have to tell you that.
Well, at the moment, how am I to...
It's a radio station.
And what's the radio station called? I can take it down. What's it called?
UK Preppers Radio Network.
UK Preppers?
Radio Network.
Is that Preppers as in P-R-E-P-E-R-S?
P-R-E-double-P.
Oh, thank you. P-R-E-double-P-E-R-S network.
Would you please put your mask back on? Would you please put your mask back on properly?
Is it on the net? Is it online?
Yes, it only works online.
And what website is it on?
It's not on the website, it's on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. How do you connect?
.co.uk.
And what time are you planning to go?
I've no idea. Depends how I feel when I wake up.
Okay. Well, all I can do is advise, educate, and persuade, Tom, which I'm trying to do. Alright? I think it's a really silly thing to do, given your clear medical state, the fact that you're out of breath while you're talking to me.
Yep.
And do you realise you may be putting yourself in danger or emergency workers at
least? Well, you say this about the emergency workers. Now, accidents happen. But let's be honest, if a little old lady fell down the stairs, she would need emergency help. But there's no law stopping little ladies going upstairs, is there? Accidents happen. You
Tom,
can't plan them.
Tom, I've been policing for some time, okay? And I deal with quite a lot of people in protest situations and things like that. Now, the impression you're giving off to me, Tom, is that you just want to have an argument with me about this.
I don't even know why you're here. It's not in the law. You don't even know your own law.
So, is there any advice or anything you'd like to receive from us, Tom?
No, I think you've wasted your time and taxpayers' money.
I don't think we have.
Well, I know you have. Because you can't stop me doing it. The law says I can do it.
Just one final thing before we leave. Can I ask why you called the police then? Why did you?
Because I made an official complaint about what was going over there, and I do have crime numbers from
right.
West Yorkshire Police.
Yeah.
Okay? And I followed up by saying, I'm going to go and check on Friday to see if what's happened is still continuing.
Right.
Okay, so I have done it legally. I've been to the police, made a report. I've had the official numbers back, crime numbers back. Or the registered, whatever our numbers.
Okay, Tom, so you contacted us.
No, West Yorkshire.
Sorry, West Yorkshire, but you contacted the UK police, yeah? And now we've come to visit you, subsequent to you calling us.
Because I'm going to check out on Islamic locations. You wouldn't be coming to me if
Tom,
I was checking
you,
Baptists.
I've sort of advised you do not drive or you do not travel.
Well,
is that
a request or an order?
Goodbye,
is that a request or an order?
PC Davis is my detail, PC Simon Davis.
Yeah, and what's your colleague's number?
773 PC Arnold.
Thank you. What's, is that a request or an order?
No, I'm not getting into any more.
Well, I decline your request. Thank you.
Good
you too. Bye.
I'd like to make it clear as well that the police wearing their PPE in this video were only wearing it because Tom refused to let them in unless they put it on. I also want to make it clear that from my point of view, I know that I don't, and I don't believe that Tom has any problem with the Muslim community whatsoever. The problem is the entire flouting of the regulations. When everybody else is on lockdown, everybody else is in trouble for breaking the social distancing rules or gathering in groups larger than two people. That is what the issue is here.
Good night, all.
Thank you for taking the time to watch this video. If you like the content and you'd like to help support the channel, you can do so. In the description of every video, there are some links to ways that you're able to help support the channel so I can continue putting out content. If you're unable to help us in that way, hit that subscribe button up the top there if you haven't already. Become a subscriber. That is support enough. Share the videos, comment, like, it all helps. If you're looking for something else to watch, up top there is my latest video. Down the bottom there is a video that YouTube recommends for you.
UK Preppers Radio Network, everybody, and welcome back to the English Men's League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Oh my God, Jeff, go ahead, brother.
Well, yeah, it's quite obvious that these so-called officers turned up Sharia-compliant officers because Tom was doing his job. He was an independent journalist doing his job because there were people, the cultist faith was out there in big groups doing what they were doing, and Tom was being a good citizen, made a report about it, and then he had a visit. You're not supposed to go out there and to do any reporting on the cultists of death. Oh, no. No, no, because they're the chosen ones. Ladies and gentlemen, now you can see what's festering underneath the citizens of this country. People like myself, people like Tom, many others. This is what we've got to put up. These so-called officers, Sharia-compliant officers, I just call them enforcers of Sharia, to shut people up, because, you know, that's what Islam's all about, shutting people up, oppressing people, suppressing people, and all they're doing is going along with what they do. These are the proper collaborators of evil. They're no different than the SS squads that used to be around in the 30s. Think about it. Think about it. These people will probably spread it amongst themselves. And you know what? There is statistics out there that say the ethnic minorities are being affected by this. Woo-hoo. It's getting them. So you do what you do. You affect all yours, but keep yourself away from us. If you want to do that and you want to die in a most horrible way which blows your lungs to bits, you do that. But just keep yourself away from the general public, the indigenous people. You want to kill yourself, get on with it. Get on with it. But do not try to do this where there's other people around. You know, that's what I'm saying, though. These people, gee, they're just the dealers of death. We've all said that. And they are dealing death because they're sharing it amongst themselves. If the one of them's got woo-woo, they'll all get woo-woo. You know. But Tom was just being a good citizen journalist. And you know his reports about if you see people doing something, you think they could be spread. You know, make a report. And that's what Tom did. He's a journalist. He might be an independent judge, but it doesn't matter. He wasn't breaking no law. And it says that they're the special workers. They're the ones who's allowed to do their jobs. That's what they're there for, to report on things that's going on. And he was just reporting on that. Well done, Tom. I'd like to have him on the radio show one day. Maybe we can get in touch with him. And a good man. It's nice to talk to you because he's got the same thing as me, and he's got the old COPD, so God bless our work, Tom. Good reporting, brother, and I'm sorry that you had that hassle with these Muppets. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, Jeff. Wow, man. I mean, so many good things that Tom did in that video. And look, he may not be a friend to the EDL because, of course, we put that disclaimer in about not having a problem with the Muslim community and blah, blah, blah. Of course, guys, you know, Jeff and I both have a problem with Islam.
We've got a problem with those ones that want to cause us harm. You know, and that's where it's always been. I mean, you look at our mission statement, it says that. We've got no problem, apart from people trying to enforce different laws in this country. And that is our problem. And we deal with that. That's why we're here, isn't it, Dave?
No, it's cool, man. No, look, you know, okay, the guy may like the EDL, he may not, we don't know. But I like, and I think Jeff likes, the fact that he's a truth teller. He went out there to expose the truth, Andy went out there to expose the double standard that, as we know, guys, has been going on for years in the UK, decades, and it's beginning here in the United States. You guys in Europe have been dealing with it for years into decades. Australia,
we're
Canada, you
Europe,
guys.
We dive.
Yep.
We've
Australia,
been
Canada.
In the United States, we've been
yeah.
Canada. We've been doing
yeah.
it for years. And Dave, people like yourself, you knew it was coming. And you try to warn people, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there, sheeple, who doesn't want to believe what's going on until it's happening right under their noses. That is the unfortunate thing. Is it what they call it? Apathy? Isn't it? Dave, I don't know. What do you call that? Is it apathy?
It's very easy to be apathetic until it's happening right under your noses, and then, of course, it's too late. But, yeah, it's everywhere now. And this what this Tom guy is doing is exposing the UK government's just rank double standard when it comes to this stupid reverse quarantining that everybody's doing right now. Yeah, it's for everybody except the Muslims. It's for everybody except the mosques. I loved so many things, Jeff, that he said in there. You know, he said okay, he reported activity that wasn't supposed to be going on. And who gets the visit from the police? Do the Muslims in the park that he was following up stories on that were out there praying, did they get a visit from the police telling them to get out? No. Did the Muslims in the mosques who were in there praying and whose leaders said they were going to continue to do that, have they gotten visits from the police telling them to get out? No, they did not. It's the same thing as is going on here in the United States. Okay, you had a church here. They're fighting this, by the way, Jeff. The Mississippi Church, remember that one? They handed
I think
out
you've got
500
some government people who's helping out as well. Some good people out there, Dave, is fighting this on behalf of the churches. And we know that. We know there's a lot of good people, don't we, Dave?
Yeah. What I was going to say was they were handing out $500 tickets to people who attended that church.
Oh, church.
And
good people.
There are some people who are trying to help out, but that's still isn't resolved. One of the other things that happened there was that there were nails placed into the driveways into that church. Now, if that happened in a mosque, it would be called hate crimes and all that stuff. Okay. But I can tell you this.
Double standards, Dave. Double standards, brother. Same over here. We knew it was going to happen in the States as well, didn't we? We said this many years ago.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. And all Tom is doing is pointing this stuff out and doing it very easily and very logically. And what I'm going to do, because I seem to be, I seem to be coming over on the show. I seem to be echoing. So, Jeff, would you like to try and call back in to see if that...
Yeah, man, it might be me. I might not even... See, I don't hear it myself, but you possibly do, Dave. So let's do that. Let me call back in, okay, bruv?
Okay, yeah, and I'll just finish my comments on this. Okay. Yeah, all right, guys. Jeff's going to call back in. Yeah, again, I loved what Tom had to say. And please give his radio station a listen. I mean, why not? Because in a very real sense, we need every good voice that we can get out there. And they don't necessarily have to be allies of the EDL. All they have to do is tell the truth, because that's all we're interested in. We're interested in the truth. Okay. And when someone like that comes out with the truth, and when he defends it, as well as Tom has in this instance, it's absolutely worth a note, and he's absolutely worth a listen. So, guys, do give this guy's report a listen. I loved almost everything he had to say, and he really showed how independent journalists should handle the law when they do come up and try and intimidate them. All right?
Well,
and
they were making it up, though. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know what the law they was talking about. Let's be honest, they didn't have nothing. This was embarrassing. No. It was embarrassing to listen to them trying to make an excuse why Tom shouldn't be doing this or doing that. And he's a journalist. They were making it up as they was going along, because there ain't no law that says that they can do this to an independent journalist. Period. That's it.
Well, yeah, and every journalist has the right to follow up a story. It doesn't matter if this had been reported in newspapers, in local newspapers before, which I'm actually shocked that they did report that in local newspapers, Jeff. I know you noticed that. I'm actually shocked that they did do that. But it's perfectly legal for an independent journalist to follow up on a story. That's how you get background on stories, so that you can get to them in depth. Because people want more than the headlines. The headlines are good, but they want a little bit more than the headlines. Now, Jeff, we're going to move on because we've got a ton of stuff.
Can I just say, mention one more thing that they
go ahead, man, please.
That they said to Tom, as he's got COPD, they said, as you are a vulnerable person, you shouldn't be out. Well, he's an independent journalist, and he can do as he bloody pleases. And that doesn't come under doing what he does. That was a thing that said journalists are key workers. Listen to that, guys. What he was doing was being a key worker. He was reporting on people that were brazenly breaking the lockdown rules. So you go, that's what he was doing. And they were trying to make it up that he's a vulnerable, he shouldn't come out. He was doing his thing. Whether he's got an issue with being vulnerable, he's in his car, that's what he's explained, but they didn't want to listen because they are Sharia compliant enforcers, ladies and gentlemen. How many times have we spoke about these enforcers over the years? It seems like we're always talking about them, isn't it? Especially from that side of the country, and of course down certain parts of London. And we've often talked about that, the way that they use tactics, which is totally, you know, it just makes you scratch your head, doesn't it, Dave? But yeah, back to you, brother, because we need to move on, don't we?
Well, Jeff, you know, I mean, it's you're absolutely right, and you brought up something else I've got to talk about for just a second anyway. Yeah, they did bring up the guy's disability. I mean, this was a heck of a video that he made here. You know, that he didn't have a disability per se. It's not, COPD is not counted necessarily as a disability, like being in a wheelchair or something of that nature. But here's the point that I want to make as the unpleasant blind guy, because I've done some reporting on my own for my own show and things of that nature. I've worn out a little bit of shoe leather, so to speak. I've made the phone calls that I've needed to make to get the facts I need to get and things of that nature. There is no law that stops people who have disabilities or otherwise who have possible physical disadvantages from going out and doing the jobs that they need to do. In fact, it is our pleasure and right and duty to go out there and do those things as part of society. We want to be a part of society. No, thank you, guys. We don't want to be taken care of like little babies. We want to carry our weight. Yeah. And this is how Tom is carrying his weight. Okay? there you go, Jeff. I had to say that for my brothers and sisters. You know, it just, anyway, let's get on with this. Guys, this next story Jeff found. And Jeff, I'm going to read a bit of this. This is one that Jeff found from, and it's a couple of years old, guys. We have checked this out. Okay? It appeared in The Independent a couple of years ago and things of that nature. This one was from about 6 months ago. This one gives you a little bit of hope. It just shows that the march of Islam is not as completely relentless and undefeatable as they'd like to think it is. This comes from a place called The Youth. And it looks like it's from somewhere in India, okay? It's from www.theyouth.in. So I'm thinking that must be India. Okay. And yes, this is from 6 months ago, and it's by, let's see, I'm going to try and, by Charathonia. Okay. And the headline on this, Jeff, how is your voice? Would you like to read this one, or would you like me to read a bit of this one? Which would you like?
Have you passed it on to me, Dave?
I can do that right now, brother. I can do that right now. That was why I was thinking.
Yeah,
I'd read
please,
it because
Dave,
of...
if I go get a,
okay.
I'll just pass it back to you. I'm all right at the moment, I've got to admit.
Cool.
I'm on a
okay,
bit of
good
a
deal, man.
Tonight,
yeah. And guys, this is something Jeff found, and we wanted to bring this to your attention. So, Jeff, right there it is, man. You got it in your Skype. Right
oh,
there.
Yes. That's right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, as I say, this comes from the youth. As I say, and the headline is Slovakia totally refuses Islam and won't let people build even a single mosque. Talk about common sense. Anyway, just bear with me. My eyes are not that great tonight. Religion conveys the principles of faith, and sometimes the faith may change based on the circumstances. We've seen quite a lot of people renouncing their religious teachings, only to convert to some other religions, a change that has been happening since the olden days. Only you can judge what you believe in, and others shouldn't inspire you to do so. Meanwhile, the terror-free Slovakia has totally refused Islam and won't allow even the single mosque in the nation. The country does not identify Islam as a religion, and they only have a few thousand Muslim residents. According to Slovakia, Islam must not be taught anywhere. Schools and the 5,000 Muslims, especially European ones, because they think it... Oh, just bear with me, guys. I've got that page... I wish I could just read it all in one go. Wouldn't it be great, bud? There you go. Where's it going? Where'd I get up to? Muslims, especially the European ones, because they think it is no good. In the year 2007, politicians had changed the nation's rules and regulations so much that 20,000 signatures from members were required to be recognised by the state in 2017. They were more than doubled the number of required signatures. Not being officially identified poses a serious threat and major difficulties for the group. In addition to that, they are also not allowed to have official religious leaders, Muslim marriages, or receive financial contributions from the state. God bless Slovakia. Fundamental rights, which 18 other recognised religions have. And I think that possibly could be the end of that. I will look down, see if there's any more of that. Oh, my apologies. Yes, there is. It's just something, you get something just underneath it. According to some of the nation's top politicians, Islam, which is so-called the religion of peace, is a serious threat. How many times have we said that, Dave? Islamization begins with kebab and Bratislava. It has already began. So understand what it could be like in 5 to 10 years, MP Andrei Bango added in a statement. Every normal European Christian or atheist fears this satanic paedophile creation of the devil, as another MP, and I would agree 1,000% with that statement. According to TRT, the situation was further complicated for the nation's Muslims in link with 2015 asylum wave. Slovakia used the absence of mosques as a ploy not to accept or welcome any migrants in their country. And so they should. If they're a sovereign country, they should go, let me go down. I think that's it, Dave. That is it, brother. And all I can say for that...
Wow.
Isn't it nice to see common sense, Dave? Isn't it? Isn't that nice to see some common sense?
Wow, Jeff. Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, man. It really is amazing. I have to say, man. You hardly ever see that anymore. And this is something that you found. And I just want to say, first of all, congratulations for that. And, to those MPs in Slovakia, let's give them one of these here. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. Give them another one. There you go. And if you great Slovakian MPs, we would love to have you on, join on our show, because we love you guys, because you're speaking common sense, and you know the threat that this death cult really is. And congratulations to what you've done.
Yeah.
I say, maybe down the lines we can have a talk to some of you great Slovakian MPs, because you are what is the spearhead of our fight against this death cult. God bless you. Yeah. Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, and Jeff, if you look at it from a historical viewpoint, I mean, this isn't their first dance with these people. Okay, remember, the Ottoman Turks gave that part of the world a lot of issues back in the day. And then you flash forward a few more centuries, and remember, this is Slovakia, okay? They remember well the boot of the Soviet Union on their necks. They know what totalitarianism looks like. They know what it feels like. And it's like the other Visegrad countries, man. They don't want it from Mohammedans. And they recognize it for what it is. They know their history. And, again, they're just like the Who. You know, the good one with Roger Daltrey, not the bad one. Not the bad Chinese one.
Yeah,
the
they won't be oppressed for such a long time. They're refusing to be oppressed. Good on them, Dave. Back to you, mate.
My point is, they're just like that Who song, right? You know, they won't be fooled again, all right? You know, they've already had to deal with it, and they hate dealing with it now. You know, I love it, Jeff, and good on you. Good on you, man, for finding that story. I mean, it's really great.
Well, it was a pleasure to see it, Dave, because it lifted my soul when I thought, thank goodness, some really common sense, some people that really knows it for what we have been speaking for so many years. How many years I've done this show? 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
How many
years
I've been involved with doing what I do? 21, 22 years. Long haul. But I'm glad that sometimes you see that light comes on and you think, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. You're working through little nations like that. That's what it does to me, Dave. It fills me with hope and with my spirit and everything. And that's why our fight is so important. It is a fight. It's a fight for civilization. We do not want to go back to regression, repression, whatever you want to call it, ladies and gentlemen. We refuse. We refuse. We want our lives to be good for our future, for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. We don't want these people to be roaming through our societies, grabbing our kids off the street, using them as sex slaves. I know there's people that go, oh, he's saying it. I am telling it the way it is, because that's what happens. Stop pulling their clothes over and pretend it's not happening, because it is. We've seen it in this country, over a million plus. We've lost track of the numbers, haven't we, Dave? We've lost track of the numbers. That's how bad it is. I mean, yeah, but one day, we'll be free from this scourge, because that's what it is. Not just the woo-woo, but the whole thing with the cultures of death. They're as bad as any scourge. They're as bad as any plague, aren't they, Dave?
No, they're far worse than any plague, as far as that goes, because once the plagues are beaten down, they're still here. Now, we're going to go to another one, Jeff. This one was one that founded Breitbart, all right? And it shows something that another Visegrad country is doing. Now, we discussed this some time ago on a show. The country of Hungary, all right, decided that you can go two ways with this, because, as we know, Jeff, the population of Europe is aging quite a bit. And you have Merkel in Germany who decided, okay, well, the way that we can keep people in Europe is we can bring in droves of Muslims who are going to rape the place dry and suck up all of the money and basically turn it into an Islamic crap hole. That's her way of doing it. The other way of doing it is the common sense way that Hungary has done, the common sense approach, which is to encourage people to have, to encourage indigenous people in their country to have children, okay? You know, and guys, we're talking about in the United States and the UK, brothers and sisters, and, you know, I mean, having kids is great, you know, and it's great fun doing it, you know. So, yeah, be about it. But
it's good to see the children grow up. It's good to see them take their first walk. It's good to see them start to talk. It's the most wondrous thing in any man or woman's life is to see their children thrive and do well. And at the end of the day, like myself, see, my kids have all grown up. I've got great-grandchildren. The other circle of life. And I'm filled with pride and love for my family. That's what it is all about. Dave, if I'd gone over what I should have gone over before my life.
Oh, man, you just added to it.
He's just wishes both God bless. That's what he's saying.
God bless you more. Yeah, all right. But here's the thing, guys. That's, caught this on Breitbart because the policy that that the government in Hungary put out is beginning to bear fruit. Okay, and I'm going to play this audio now. It is just under 4 minutes long, so check this one out. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here we go. This is from Breitbart on the 8th, okay, of this month. Here we go.
Exclusive comments. Hungary's pro-family policy is working, births up 9.4%. By Jack Montgomery on April 8, 2020. The pro-family policies pursued by Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban's government as an alternative to mass immigration are reaping dividends, with births up 9.4% year-on-year. Edward von Habsburg, the Central European country's ambassador to the Holy See, and great-great-grandson of Emperor Franz Joseph I of Austria-Hungary, reported that the much-ridiculed policies were also accompanied by a near 100% increase in marriages and the number of children per woman rising to an average of 1.6. In Hungary, the population has been decreasing since 1981, said Katalin Novak, Hungary's state secretary for family, youth, and international affairs. In exclusive comments to Breitbart London explaining the enormity of the turnaround her government has achieved. In 2010, when Orbán's Fidesz party won the elections with a two-thirds majority after 8 years of socialist, anti-work, anti-economy, and anti-family governance, our country was at the brink of collapse, she recalled, citing austerity packages and the dismantling of the family benefit system. In 2010, we started to build a family-friendly country. Our main goal is to eliminate the burdens that couples face when they would like to have children, she said, highlighting policies including lifelong exemption from personal income tax for women with four children, partial mortgage write-offs for families after the birth of their second child, and grandparental leave. The recent demographic figures speak for themselves. The number of marriages is at its 40-year high, the fertility rate at its 20-year high. While the divorces haven't been as low as last year in the last six decades, she added proudly. The state secretary, herself a mother of three, was forthright when pressed to comment on the past remarks of outlets such as the Left Liberal Economist magazine, which rubbished the Hungarian government's aspirations to arrest its demographic decline through so-called natalist policies rather than mass immigration, as Western European countries such as Britain, Germany, and Sweden have attempted. The Hungarian point of view is that we have to rely on our internal resources, namely supporting families and enabling young couples to have children. The other approach says that there is overpopulation in one half of the world, while there is a population decline in the other, so let's just simply balance the difference, she said, offering a concise summary of the current state of the debate. we are lectured and stigmatized simply because we took a path that is different from the mainstream. And, exposed to continuous attacks for years. But facts are facts, our results are clear and we also enjoy the support of Hungarian people, she said. I read the critics and the pessimistic predictions of Economist in February. Now, I would be pleased to read at least the recognition of the facts, the obvious positive demographic figures in recent months, she added, in what may prove to be a forlorn hope. Ms. Novak also offered a tactful rebuke to the Swedish government, which took the extraordinary decision to summon the Hungarian ambassador when the most recent package of pro-family policies were announced, claiming they reeked of the 1930s. After the outrageous statement of their family minister, many Swedish people assured me that they would very much welcome such a supportive pro-family policy package in their own country, said Novak. I won't teach lessons to other governments, but I await them to give us the same respect. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Hey, welcome back to the New Slant Seed Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think, man?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? It's always good. Anything that comes out of Hungary and that, you know it's going to be interesting. You know, especially Breitbart, but you know it's going to be a good story. It's going to be interesting. And Viktor Orban's doing a fantastic job, I've got to admit. And we've said this for many years now, haven't we, Dave? He loves his country and he's not going to see that country fall into all the crap that he's seen around him. And you know he loves his country dearly and he'll do anything to do the right things. So, yeah, onward and forward with Viktor. I like to meet him, I shake his hand, actually, because I really like the man, you know. That's you, Dave.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. I mean, he's a great statesman. He's been called a hero. You know, our friend Tanya Graf agrees with us that he's a hero. You know, right up there along with Geert Wilders and Marine Le Pen and people like that. And
he's another one
that really,
likes to shake his hand and have a drink with.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, he's a great gentleman.
Now, what I, you know, it really is to me. Now, Sweden has been handling things pretty much right when it comes to this Wuhan virus thing. But they've handled their immigration policy.
It does.
But it's they've been handling their immigration policy horribly. Okay, the issue of how to increase their population. They've made horrible mistakes, and we've been covering this stuff for years, Jeff. You and I both have. You have,
yeah.
We have on this show, and I have on the Unpleasant Blind Guy. They have inflicted a horror on their own people of bringing in these Mohammedans, and they have the gall, you know, the tin-plated gall to call in an ambassador from Hungary to berate them because Hungary has this latest package of family encouragement policies, okay? And frankly, as far as that goes, were I that ambassador from Hungary, I would have told Sweden to mind its own damned business, all right? They have created their own horror by doing this to their own people, and Hungary has quite frankly shown the way. And this garbage of, well, this reeks of the 1930s. No, it doesn't. Hungary is not saying that, for instance, immigrants aren't allowed to come there. They're just not crazy about Muslim immigrants coming there. And I have no problem with that.
Can I just make a comment, Dave? What Margaret
Thatcher
once said.
Go on, brother, go on, please.
But when she was talking, she said about the Second Battle War, and she said a lot of countries joined us, but Sweden stayed neutral. If everybody else done that, the war would have been lost. So that's little Sweden being impartial, being a suicide culture, which they are, and they might do things right with the COVID. Yeah, that sounds good. But their other politics is crap. and the people, especially the poor women, how are they bloody suffering? Rape left, right, centre, and that. Do you know they're not even reporting on the rapes nowadays? This is what I've heard,
I believe it.
They're not reporting on them because they're so vast. That's
Yeah, I believe it, Jeff.
Black. Yeah? Sorry,
Doug,
back to you, mate.
No, it's cool, Jeff. No, you're right. And we've reported on this for years, as I've said. You know, I honestly wonder, first of all, who it was in the Swedish government that called in the ambassador from Hungary concerning this. Could it have been Muslims in the Swedish government? Because we know their government is stuffed with Muslims now. Their cultural minister is a Muslim. All right? The
cultural
minister...
You know he's going to be a Muslim, Dave. You know it, mate.
It's amazing, though, Jeff. The culture minister for Sweden, a northern European country, is a Muslim... who is basically, I don't know if he was a migrant that came in, all right, but I think he might be, and guys, this could
be
wrong, okay? I'm not prepared to say that either, but what I was going to say is, guys, you can check me if I'm wrong on this, but, you know, I do believe that he is of Pakistani origin. Now, what in the bugger does a Pakistani... someone with a Pakistani background possibly know about Swedish culture? Okay, that is how far gone Sweden is. Okay, and I salute Hungary because they, like Slovakia, okay, they have some of the same memories that they do in Slovakia and the other Visegrad countries. They remember what it was like under the Soviet Union, and they don't want this same tyranny.
Let's call it out, mate. Let's call it. In 25 years from now, you won't see one of the original Swedish people. We know that. They're gone. They're finished. You know, they've given up the fight years ago, and they just took it straight up the jacksie, and they continue to do so. And they're embarrassed. They're embarrassing to the whole of our nations, because they used to be a warrior race. Now look at them. They couldn't fight a carrot, Dave. It's terrible.
Oh, I know,
man.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, but you know what? Hungary is doing the right thing. God bless them. And Jeff, we have time for one more story. This is going to be real quick. Okay. Now, guys,
look at
this story.
Where's it gone tonight?
Yeah. Well, and instead of, you know, instead of spending time talking about how we don't have very much time, let's go ahead and hit this one more story, okay, guys? This story here comes out of KRDO news in Colorado. Okay, and over here in the United States, we've had it with this damned lockdown. That's how we started the show. Okay, and they've had it with the lockdown in in Colorado too, and they're doing a little something about it, something that's a little crazy. But I gotta admit, Jeff, I kind of like this. Here, check out this report, guys. This is under a minute. Check out this report from Colorado that was done on the 8th. Check this out, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Welcome back. A unique way to show your support for both neighbors and first responders is gaining momentum in Southern Colorado.
In a big way. Take a listen. This was earlier tonight as folks in Manitou went out to howl at 8. A lot of howling there. Of course, it's not just residents in Manitou. This is a movement that's being observed every night in every corner of at least this state, maybe others. People are asked to get out and howl every night at 8 o'clock in a show of solidarity, letting neighbors know we're still connected and still Colorado strong, even though we are apart.
There you go, Jeff.
That is what an amazing story. Yeah, I love that. I love the Coloradan spirit. God bless them all, Dave. Yeah. How do you know, let your neighbours know that you care about them and that they care about you? It's what it's all about. In the times of stress and worry, you know, you come together 8 o'clock at night and you do it in unity. There you go. Isn't that what the human spirit's all about, Dave? That's what the human spirit's all about, brother.
Well, yeah, you're right, man. You're right. Sorry, I was doing my thing with my little bullet points thing in here, just clearing out what we'd already taken care of. Yeah, man, that is the spirit of it. And you know, guys, I'm gonna sneak one more in because we've got to do this one. This is of course primarily a UK show, okay? And we're gonna be shaving close to the edge, but that's all right, okay? But got to get this one in, all right? Because this guy is so cool. This one here comes off the Daily Mail. I'm gonna be as quick as I can about this, Jeff. Okay. Now this has been updated on today. All right, and it is by Faith Riddler for the Mail Online. Now this one is ultra cool. His picture's in our show page at blogtalkradio.com. So check it out. Yeah. All right. World War II hero Captain Tom Moore, age 99, smashes the one. No, my God, Jeff, listen to this. See, we've been following this story, guys, and this figure has just been going up and up. Check it out, man. Smashes the 11 million pound mark in his bid to raise funds for NHS.
No,
by,
he's raised 12 now, guys. Just let you know, the, it's 12.
Oh,
and
okay. Okay. Well,
57 grand on top of that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's the latest figure. Okay. And he was doing that by marching around his garden on a Zimmer frame. And for my American list, brothers and sisters, that's a walker. Okay. I'm going to read the bullet points real quick, Jeff. Captain Tom Moore, age 99, is walking 100 lengths of his garden before he turns 100, and that's supposed to happen on the 30th of this month. All right. Next bullet point. He has smashed through his initial target. Get this, guys. He originally started out to only raise 1,000 pounds. And that was, he was to a remarkable, as Jeff says now, 12 million pounds. The veteran is on track to finish his challenge on Thursday with 10 laps left to go. You can donate at http://www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Tom's Walk for the NHS. All right, and that is going. That's how you can donate to that, Jeff. I didn't want to end the show without talking about that because it's so cool.
It's worldwide now, Dave. It's spread around the world. He's a true hero. This is a really old gentleman. He's doing it because of the love of the NHS. And the world has taken part. This is a whole global unity with the gentleman. What a great man, eh? A true hero, Dave. A true hero. Captain Tom. What's his name? Captain, I'm terrible. I keep forgetting names. What am I like, Dave? What's the guy's name
again?
Captain.
Captain Tom Moore. Okay, that's his name. Captain Tom Moore.
What a great name as well, eh, Dave? Captain,
yeah,
God bless you,
had...
brother. Wow. Amazing. Thank you, Dave.
No, yeah, well, no, thank you, Jeff, for updating us on the amount of money he's managed to raise. And, yeah, we've had some good Toms in this show. We've had Tom the journalist and now Tom the captain. How about that, man?
It just goes to show you, doesn't it? But, you know, in the times of problems and things going on, a lot of sadness, there's an old gentleman there that, for the love of the NHS and what people, you know, put and sacrifice, and there's been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses that have lost their lives over this time. And he's doing it for the love of them. This is a true hero, in all sense. And I've heard Boris Johnson is going to award him with a medal.
No, he should.
This is the latest news I've heard. That Boris has been watching him, and he's going to hand him a medal. How about that, brother? Whoa!
That's pretty amazing, Jeff.
Something like that. It's a really special thing that Captain Tom, yeah, you deserve it, my dear friend. God bless you.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. Well, you know, I guess it's time for final thoughts here, and I just want to tell everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern in the United States, and at 6 p.m. in the U.K. All right, and Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States and at 5 a.m. in the U.K. We're going to be gone on vacay, but please check out the page anyhow, because right now my 7th anniversary show is running on there, and after that will be maybe the most important thing, particularly for Americans, the most important series of podcasts you've ever heard, which is The Way Back. Please check those out, and we will be back, you know, hopefully recharged and ready to go, you know, and a little bit less worn down by this Wuhan. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and, you know, all the first responders, all the patriots out there, everyone who has, who is ready to say no to tyrants in the government and yes to helping out your neighbors, I just want to say be prosperous, be healthy, and be blessed. And I will see you guys at the the Exceptional Conservative Show tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I'm talking to, that's 2 a.m. in the U.K., and then after that, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Love you guys. Live long and prosper. Back to you, Jeff. Those are
enough. Yeah, cheers, Dave. I was just looking for something else to play as instead of the guys doing it like they normally. I was just looking for something a little bit different. I'm just, do you know, we've got so many things on our, in our street. You'll see it, ladies and gentlemen, our street. Oh, yeah, we got so many. There's so many things that I could play, and I've only got a certain amount of time. I should have done this ages ago. I just clicked on one already, shouldn't I, Dave? But I'm getting there. Just bear with me. I'm looking for the voice, Dave.
It's crowded up with stuff, guys. We've got all kinds of good songs on there, patriotic songs. We've got a lot of good rock and roll songs.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of good things in there. Yeah.
Dave, can you say about the voice for me? Or should
I
stop
sure,
and put it down?
Let me see. Okay. Yeah,
I would
have played that
with a voice. And as I say, my thoughts and my prayers always go out to, sadly, a lot of people that we've lost from yesterday to today. It was 861, and we have been losing people left, right, and centre. But my thoughts and prayers for them, their families, and of course, all of our first responders who do the most heroic jobs, Dave. You know, they are our true warriors. They're on the front lines, aren't they, buddy? But, Dave, it's playing that with the voice. I think the voice is a great one, isn't it, Dave, to play us out with tonight? If we can.
Well, brother, you know what? You ask for it, you'll get it. It's your show. And, man, I just want to say before I hit the before I hit the play button on this one, you know, I'm wishing you, you know, publicly here, obviously, I'm wishing you all the health, and hopefully it'll be a lot more sunshine and everything. You can bake out it and look like you just came back from the Bahamas, you know, and everybody out there, do take care of yourselves, all right? And, guys, this is what we're going to play out with this time. This is The Voice. We love you guys. See you the 3rd of May.
God bless you, guys. Thank you, Dave. Look, Ray, tune the players out with the end of the show. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time, but you know what? You just go to our page and you'll see the shows that you will hear was some from back in the early days, and you'll hear some old famous ones that we've had down the lines. You know, the Eagles been around a long time, and people come and people go, and some of these shows, I hope that you enjoy listening to them as much as we did putting them together and taking part. So from myself and from Dave, from the team, thinking of you all out there, you be careful, stay safe, as I say, just look out for one another, look out for your families, we love you dearly, all of you out there. So we'll be back again on the 3rd of May, with their Sunday show. We're building up, we are building up then to our anniversary, 8 years. And, you know, I think we're going to have someone special that I've been watching very closely lately, and I've been very, very impressed. I'm going to say too much, wait till we come back. I'll probably do a recording in between. Dave, God bless you. Have a great vacation. Stay in touch with me, wouldn't you, brother? And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the show tonight, though. You got a big one going tonight with our dear Ken. Give him my best, Dave. Give him all my best. Onward and forward. So with that, we're going to do this. And I'm going to say to you, you great listeners out there, we love you. If it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you so much for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show. As I said, please stay tuned every Thursday for the next couple of weeks, because it's 4 shows, and I know you will enjoy it as much as myself and the team did. Putting them together. These are good ones. So with that, good night, and we'll see you soon. There you go. So this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for a little while. I'm going on my holidays. I'm vacationing in the sun, hopefully, tomorrow. Good night, guys. God bless you, Dave. God bless you all. See you soon. Bye-bye.